Right. We're going to start with a little quiz. Now, Ollie's not allowed to answer this because he's sitting right by that. He can see all of the answers. Not looking at it, he says. I'm not looking at it. Right. What I want you to do is I'm going to show you some pictures, and you have to tell me which Disney movie you think they are from. Oops, suddenly there's a few people really interested. Okay? Okay, right. First one. Who knows which Disney movie that might be from? Oh, Jane knows. Go on, Jane. This is Ariel, so that's Little Mermaid. Let's see if she's right. Yes, Little Mermaid. Next one. What's that one? I'm very topical at the moment. What's that one? Yes, Millie. Beauty and the Beast. Yes, in the original version. That's Beauty and the Beast. There we go. Next one. Ooh, what about that one? Ooh, Millie knows again. Ooh, Lucy knows too. Do you know what is this, Lucy? No. Do you know what it is, Lucy? Millie? No, it's not Finding Nemo. Anybody know? Lion King. Right. I've got a few more recent ones for the younger ones coming up. What about this one? Ooh, Millie and Lucy both know again. Go on.
Finding Nemo.
No, it's not Finding Nemo. Millie? Yeah.
BFG.
No. Oh, we've got some hands at the back. Do you know what it is? Big Hero 6. Well done. Yes, it is Big Hero 6. Right, next one. What about this one? Anybody? Millie knows again. Anybody got any ideas? Somebody other than Millie? Jane knows again. Yeah, Millie said it. It's Frozen. There you go. And this last one. Anybody know what this one is? Oh, Millie knows again. Anybody other than... Oh, Rob knows at the back. Do you know what it is? No, close. Not. Yeah, do you know what it's called? Tangled. Yes, well done. Rapunzel, Tangled. There you go. Well, we're going to hear a story, the beginning of a story now. Nothing to do with Walt Disney, but everything to do with not seeing clearly. And our reading begins in Mark chapter 10, and it begins at verse 32. And if you want to follow along in the Bibles, because we're going to be looking at a lot this morning, it's on page 1015. So it's Mark chapter 10, and it begins at verse 32 on 1015. It's headed, Jesus predicts his death a third time. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." I see you. Well, that's a bit tense, isn't it, as an opening. I'm going to need lots of help very shortly, Lucy. So I've got you in mind. When we did the quiz, actually, there was no fooling you lot. Clearly, you've got pretty good vision. I did notice, however, that there are one or two of us wearing glasses. Maybe one or two more who wear contact lenses. When I was little, there was a time when I was the only person I knew, other than my parents, but they were old, and what did I expect, who wore glasses. I was 7 at the time, and for weeks I had been... I put this in the wrong place. Sorry, Phil, you're going to have to... Where's it gone? There we go. You're going to have to go backwards. For weeks I had been squinting at the board. I'd been making mistakes as I copied things down. And my teacher suggested to my parents that perhaps they needed to take me to the optician, have my eyes tested. And so an appointment was made for me for the following week. Now, in the meantime, my teacher, very kind teacher, always looking after her pupils, she moved me to the front row. And actually, she used to stop by my desk quite regularly to make sure that I wasn't having any headaches, that I wasn't struggling, just to give me a little bit of attention. I really liked that. I really appreciated kind of being the centre of the attention. I liked being fussed over, and I really could see far better from the front. Well, the day came for my appointment with my optician. I went and had all the tests, and he duly said, yep, you're going to have to wear glasses. Now, these days, those round glasses, they're very fashionable, very Harry Potter-ish. But when you're 7-year-old back in, they were horrible. I wasn't going to wear those, and I begged and I pleaded with the optician not to make me wear them. All I got was a consoling pat on the shoulder and a future with glasses in it. When they came, I was miserable. The teacher moved me back to my old place in the class. She didn't stop by my desk anymore. I was really struggling to make things focus because when you first get glasses, you can't find where the floor is. And I was tripping over steps and I was really struggling. And I longed to go back to the days when I was short-sighted and the world was comfortable and safe and familiar to me. Nowadays, of course, I'm really glad that the opticians picked up my short-sightedness and that my sight is fine with the glasses. But when you see the world in a particular way, change can be very hard to take. And that's how it was with the disciples, because Jesus had told them yet again that he was going to be walking into danger. Not only was he going to be walking into danger, but he was going to be betrayed. He was going to be tried, convicted. He was going to die. This wasn't what the disciples had signed up for. This wasn't anywhere near close to the picture of the Messiah that they had in their minds. They thought that God's chosen one was coming to free them from the slavery to Rome, and that they couldn't understand what he was going on about. They thought he was giving up something wonderful when the reality that what they wanted was something different. As far as Jesus' mission was concerned, they had a real blind spot. So the first question we're all going to ask ourselves is, who do you think Jesus really is, and what does he want to do for you?
The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom I've been prepared. When the other 10 heard about this, they became indignant, and James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those are regarded as rulers of Gentiles, lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whomever wants to become great among you must be in your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. Even For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life and ransom for many.
Thank you very much, Millie. Well, very well done. Who's ever watched X Factor or Britain's Got Talent? Oh, one or two fans amongst us. Right. Why do you think people go in for it? Yeah. What do you think, Millie? To win, yeah? What do they want when they win? Fame. They want fame, don't they? They want to be recognised in the street. They want to become rich and well-known. And they probably think, you know, if I'm like that, people, I just ask them something and people will do whatever I want them to do. Well, it seems like people have always wanted this kind of thing, because if you heard in our reading that James and John, they asked Jesus if they could sit in the most important places when Jesus comes into his power. Now, if you've ever seen a photograph of the front benches in the Houses of Parliament, or perhaps the Cabinet when they're all meeting together, you'll notice that the most important ministers in the Cabinet, they sit very close to the Prime Minister, because those are considered the important places. Now, going back to our reading, James and John and the other disciples, they've got this picture, as we've already said, in their mind, that Jesus has come to get rid of the Romans. They don't like the Romans. They want Jesus to get rid of the Romans and to give the country back to God's people. And that's what the Jewish people, that's what they've been hoping would happen for a very long time. Now, the disciples, by now, because they've been with Jesus quite a while, they have figured out that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one. But they are still a very long way from understanding what that really means, how he was going to achieve what he'd come to do. Right, who has ever played Snakes and Ladders? Right. I need a little assistance. Oops. Yeah, thank you very much, Ollie. Right, I need a bit of assistance. I want a few volunteers to help me play. Right, here we go. Start at the beginning, over here. What colour would you like? You want to play too, Ollie? No? All right. I'll throw the dice. Right. Another bit. Right, okay. One. Who's going first? Lucy. Right, number one. Do you want to move forward one, Lucy? You move forward one. Ollie, do you want to throw the dice for me? Right, two. One, two. Oh, look what's happened. Great stuff. I couldn't ask that better. Millie has just gone up a ladder. Now, I'm going to stop playing just for a second. James and John, they were friends of Jesus. They've been traveling it, like all the disciples, for quite a long time. They had learnt lots from him. They'd seen him do some pretty amazing things. Life for them was a bit like going up that ladder in Snakes and Ladders. They were learning so much. And Jesus had even enabled them to do some pretty amazing things. They knew that this was a great thing, but they wanted even more. They wanted to know that they were important, that they were important friends of Jesus, that they were special ones. And so they asked if they could sit on Jesus' right and on his left when he came into power. Now, this wasn't actually quite as wacky as it sounds, because Jesus had actually promised them a few days later, and if you read the account in Matthew's Gospel, you can see Jesus had said that one day, when he came into glory, they would sit on 12 thrones, and they would judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So I reckon that as they were walking along, this idea was rolling around in James and John's mind. They thought, we'll get in there, we'll ask Jesus, can we be the ones who sit closest to him? Can we be his special friends? Right, you're going to throw the dice a few more times for me? Right, you're getting ones. All right, you're all the way up there. Keep going, keep throwing the dice. Two is my six. Go on, Lucy, go six. Two, three, four, five, six. Right, Millie, you're going to throw it? Right, one. Okay, one more throw. Right, I'm going to pretend that Lucy's got an awful lot and that she's come all the way and that she's here. No, Millie, can you pretend you come here, please? Just come to 20. Now, Millie has fallen on 20. Guess what's on 20? A snake. So Millie's got to go all the way back down to number 6. Right. There's a problem, you see. Things are going really smoothly. They're learning lots. They're being with Jesus. They're seeing amazing things happen. But they hadn't really understood what Jesus meant. You see, there weren't going to be any thrones for them here on earth. The journey that they were going to take was going to be a much more difficult one. But Jesus promised that there would be an amazing future for them and for us when he finally does come into his kingdom. So Jesus doesn't shout at them. He's not angry with them for wanting to be close to him. He's not even angry with them for wanting power and authority, because they're going to need it. But what he is worried about is that they haven't yet grasped the significance of what it is that they're asking for. They haven't realized the cost. Can we keep the game a little bit under control down here? Right, so what Jesus actually says to them is, he says this: you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you have the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Now, they don't know that what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about his death, that he's going to give himself so that all of God's creation can be saved. We're going to put the game of snakes and ladders away now. So do you want to go and sit down again? Thank you.
Well, I think
we're getting a bit out of... Yeah, it was a crazy game. Crazy idea. What was I thinking of? Right. Thank you very much for my helpers anyway. Snakes and Ladders was one of my favourite games when I was growing up, because I loved that race heading towards the top of the board. Really looking forward to landing on the ladders that would take me closer. Really fearing that I was going to land on a snake and come sliding back down to the bottom. It's a children's game, but actually isn't it a good picture of our Christian life? Because there are times when Jesus really makes sense to us, when what we read in the Bible really encourages us and takes us on our way in growing in our faith and our discipleship. And then all too often what happens? Something goes a bit wrong, we're struggling, we're having difficulties, and it feels like we've slid back down, and we feel like we've let ourselves down and we've let the Lord down. Because, you know, a bit like snakes and ladders, it can be one step forward and two steps back. That's how it was, or how it felt, for James and John. But, as we heard in our Bible reading, every time the disciples make a misstep, what does Jesus do? He comes alongside them to teach them and to encourage them. He takes them back to the drawing board. The rest of the disciples, they hear what James and John have done. Not best pleased, probably thinking, I wish I'd got in there first. They too are showing that actually really they haven't yet understood what Jesus is all about. So Jesus seizes the opportunity to teach them once more about the first being last and the great serving others. He shows us a very different kind of leadership, a very different kind of greatness, one that takes account of everyone else, one that puts others before ourselves, one that wants to show people the same love that we've received from Jesus so that they can come to know him and his love for themselves. And Jesus ends with that most amazing of mission statements in verse 45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Because Jesus' death is the ultimate service, doing for us what we couldn't possibly hope to do for ourselves, bringing us back into God's family, putting us right with God. We're going to spend a few minutes now thinking a little bit more about those times when actually we've put ourselves first, when rather than thinking about others, we thought about what matters to us. When we've treated Jesus as someone asking him, what can he do for us, rather than what can we do for you? So we're going to come and say sorry, and we're going to ask him to take away that blind spot that we have and help us to see him more clearly.